Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, good to have you here this morning, and we've got our Bibles and our coffee, and we've got a guest today.
Well, it will be exciting because we'll be talking about missions, and we're in the middle of our missions conference. It's going to be a joy to hear the life testimony of John Zimmer and how God has worked in him. And we see how God has given all of us that great commission, and so we're looking forward to this.
And John, it is good to have you here today. Maybe you could tell the folks who are listening a little bit about who you are and what the Lord has called you to do, and just maybe a little bit about your family.
I'm John Zimmer, and I grew up in a little town called Watertown, Wisconsin, not so far from here, and grew up in a Christian home where my parents were teaching me about the Lord, and from a young age I followed after the Lord. I came to know Jesus Christ as a five-year-old boy and went through a series of time in my life as a teenager where I really ran from God. But as a result of my parents' diligent prayer and continued love, the Lord really broke my heart and gave me a hunger to know Him more. And I wanted to start over and went back to a Christian school. And really, God got a hold of my heart and changed me and gave me a real desire to be in ministry. And after graduating from college and graduate school, I went on to work at Brookside Baptist Church, serving there as assistant pastor over youth and family. You're very familiar with that. We loved our time there. And then through a real unusual set of events, we wound up going to the mission field to the Republic of Palau. And I have my wife, Jamie, and we have three little girls, Allie, Ashley, and Emma. And we have absolutely loved what God has called us to do, and just it's been such an exciting adventure for us.
John, where is the Republic of Palau?
If you were to look at a map and find the Philippines and go to the southernmost portion of the Philippines and then go to the east 400 miles, that's where you'll find Palau. It's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, about 7 degrees north of the equator.
And maybe size of the island, just so our listeners can kind of get a mental picture of, we kind of know where you're out. You're out somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a little dot called Palau, which is certainly a long way. How long did it take you to fly here?
With the layovers and everything, it's about a little over 30 hours.
30-hour flight. Mm-hmm. How big is the island?
Well, the island we live on and are ministering on is about 1 mile by 3 miles. It's the island of Koror. Then there's the big island called Babeldaob, and that one is approximately 27 miles by 15 miles. But there are 9 inhabited islands out of about 300 islands in Palau.
And the population of your island would be?
I think it's around 15,000 people.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the culture.
Palau is a very warm, literally warm climate. But the people are even warmer, and you just fall in love with them. In fact, every night we go to sleep, my girls are crying and wanting to go back to Palau. They love it so much because it's a family. The Palauans absolutely embraced us when we came, and we had a lot to learn about ourselves going there because it's a wonderful place. There are things that we've been able to teach them from the Word of God that has brought some great help to them. But the climate, the culture, the place there is just a wonderful, wonderful place. We thank the Lord for calling us to Palau.
Well, John, it's exciting, and I know our listeners are going to enjoy hearing as we weave really what God has been doing in your heart in and out throughout the broadcast here today and in the next couple of days as we really talk about how to cultivate in a person a missionary heart. How do you cultivate a missionary heart? And, Doc, I know you've been burdened for missions ever since you came to Northland. In fact, I know one of the first things you did when you came here was you started Missions Conference, and that's been going on now for the 25 years that you've been here. What was the heart behind Missions Conference?
Well, actually, Missions Conference was going before I got here with Jim Morgenroth, who had come from the mission field, but we obviously came with that mission vision. I originally felt that my surrender, when I surrendered to ministry, was going to be missions. And that was really our plan, but it was really a mission not overseas. It was going to be to loggers and fishermen with the shantymen ministry. So I always felt that God would put us into missions somewhere. But that is not how He directed. That is not living on a mission field, per se. although many would perceive northern Wisconsin as Siberia, which is a mission field of mission fields. But it was a blessing to be able to tie in with people who were preparing to go to the fields. And we just continue to build now in the middle of our mission conference week. Now our hearts are just thrilled at the number of people who have abandoned themselves to the cause of Christ, being able to model to our student body what it means to be totally surrendered to the cause of Christ.
I heard yesterday a statistic that was very encouraging. I think somebody said it was like 48% of our student body has current plans to not just think about going to missions, but to actually go and invest their life in some foreign field. Is that?
Yes, that's, I'm not sure the exact percentage, but it was near 50% of our present student body. And that really sets an atmosphere on campus, because you don't have people geared to going out to get rich. They know they're going to graduate going out raising money to try to get to a mission field. And so their walk of faith and their life of faith, and many of them are committed to go where Christ's name has never been mentioned, to the unknown, unseen fields, that there would be no way there could be any recognition except the recognition of heaven. And many are willing to lay their life down on the line if that's what it takes to get the gospel planted somewhere.
So, Doc, as a dad, you know, I have kids, and I want to see them consider giving their heart and life to missions. And obviously, the Lord used you here to cultivate an environment where that kind of a heart could flourish. What were some things that you did, or what were some things you saw God do here that cultivated that, that maybe we could translate as parents into our own heart? You know, even in our own little small place, we can start doing some of those things to produce that in our own kids.
Well, four things come to mind as a pattern that we've always had for mentoring and discipling as well. Number one is exposition of Scripture. The New Testament is replete with examples of Great Commission challenge. The dying, the last words before our Savior ascended to heaven was Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. That was his parting words before he ascended. And we have Romans 15, which we will be considering here in these next couple broadcasts, that is given there. You have the Great Commission given in Matthew 28. So you have exposition of Scripture. Secondly, exposure. I think the reading of missionary biographies, exposing our children. For example, if the church is having a missions conference, have an opportunity to invite one of the missionary families to your home for dinner, or house them during the conference, if possible, to expose your kids to people who are there. You expose them to truth, expose them to biographies where they're able to see the life that is lived in the life of faith, and that these people are human and their kids are human, that they have to be corrected, and they have to, missionaries get tired where they see, but they see a life of abandonment. And then thirdly is experience. If there's an opportunity, take those children somewhere, somehow to a mission field. You may want to plan one of your family vacations to go and visit one of your missionaries, whether it's in Europe or whether it is in Palau or whether it is in the Philippines, but get the money saved, get them maybe raised, have your children raise money like missionaries for a period of time for this mission trip dash family time, and get them experience literally on that field. You can give them experience right in your local church in bus ministry. Give them experience right there in your local church in giving open doors of working in VBS, the Vacation Bible School, doing stories, doing skits, doing Bible lessons that can be done. They have to have experience. Then the fourth thing is, I saw an exchange happen where they exchanged their value system for God's. And Matthew 6:33 comes into play. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the first claim principle then goes, that is how I have operated. Okay, you exposit truth, you expose them to those living truth, you let them experience the working of truth, and then they exchange their values for God's. And a surrender takes place that is given, same pattern we have in Luke 14.
Well, Doc, that is a very, very impacting little analogy that you've given us there, because that is exactly, when I stop and think about missions conference here, that's exactly what we're doing. We're expositing truth in the sessions, exposing our students to missionaries. We're encouraging them in the summers to go to all these different places. And the result of that is, like you're saying, the great exchange, their values for the Great Commission values. And that happens in a local church too, John. I'm sure you've seen that.
For sure, we've seen that. And, you know, actually, when I was growing up as a young man, my parents did this very thing in our lives. And now, as a result, the Lord has really drawn many of my brothers and sisters into missions. And the exposition of Scripture, every night my parents would spend around the Word of God with us, and we would sing and we would pray. And I'm convinced that's what drew us back when we ran from God. And the exposure to missions and the experience. And then as a result, that exchange took place where we didn't have much money growing up, but there was a selflessness that took place. And my parents showed us that and emulated that. And as a result, it's not a huge, huge burden to go to a place where you have to exchange your value system.
You know, John, you mentioned your brothers and sisters. I think you've got two brothers that are on the mission field with you or out in that area. Well, both of them are in Yap, is that right, Mark?
That's right.
And Paul?
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a sister that's married to a man who's involved in gospel ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a brother who's also involved, although he's working in as a layman, and he has a burden for ministry, and an older brother in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met your dad over in Puerto Rico. When your dad should have been retired, your dad's over in Puerto Rico working with Johnny Daniels in a little Bible college. Teaching Greek, is that?
That's right. When the younger sister graduated from college and was married, my dad looked at my mom and said, "Honey, we're going." And they found a ministry and packed it up and moved to Puerto Rico.
And how old were they at that time?
In their 60s, I believe.
Which plays again, Doc, to something you've been saying for a long time, that the greatest untapped resource in the modern church are people whose kids are out of the house and who've reached retirement years and they're not ready to quit yet. Well, this is an exciting topic that we've been talking about, how to cultivate a missionary heart. This would be one worthy to pass on to friends and family members. If you want your kids to have a missionary heart, you've got to cultivate that through exposition of the Scripture, exposure to people who are living a life of abandonment, letting them experience it in their own life, and then asking God to do the great exchange of their values for His.